Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to tonight's episode of the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Evan Witalison, and I am flying solo tonight as Troy is a bit under the weather. And I do want to apologize on behalf of both of us for not having a show the past couple of nights, because Tuesday I was under the weather. Last night he was under the weather. I was still not 100%, so I passed. But tonight we are here doing a show, talking some baseball, talking some March Madness, talking some NBA at this time, possibly some NFL at this time. Your phone calls are welcome if you're listening live. 646-564-9948. And the first thing I want to bring up really quick, as I'm seeing it go around on Facebook and Twitter by the beat writers of Green Bay and by guys that cover the Packers for a living, like Mike Clemens, that Joe Mixon was in Green Bay earlier this week meeting with the Green Bay Packers, getting an interview. And as you recall, I'm sure, if you don't, I'll refresh, fill you in. But Joe Mixon, back in 2014, got in trouble for punching a woman in the face following a birthday party for him. He fractured some bones in her face, and video was released around late December of the incident, and there's been a lot of a huge dark cloud around him since the incident. And like I said, the incident happened in 2014. And I know a lot of people up in arms that he's even in the NFL draft with the issue. But you got to remember, people, it happened in 2014. I'm not downplaying what he did. What he did was awful. But at the end of the day, he made a grave mistake. He made a grave mistake as an 18-year-old kid. Sincerely wishes he could take back. I've listened to his interviews. I've read about him. And everything I've seen and heard and read about him since the day that happened, he's done everything right. He has done the right thing. He has tried to make a better life for himself, and he's giving back to the community for his horrific crime. He deserves a second chance. He deserves an opportunity to make a living for himself, and until he proves us otherwise, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he is truly a changed person. He's had no issues with the law since this problem. He had no issues with the law. He, as I said, he's done everything right. So I would have no problem with him coming a Green Bay Packer. If the Packers drafted him, if in the second or third round, Joe Mixon is still sitting there, if I'm the Packers, I'll take him. I have no problem with him taking him. He hasn't shown any, negative issues since that event. Where Adrian Peterson, on the other hand, he showed very little remorse for beating his kid. So that's the difference. Peterson showed very little remorse for what he did. And he also tried to play the victim card, too, saying that's how he was brought up. Well, Joe Mixon has shown a lot of remorse, and he's doing all the right things. I want to get your thoughts on it. Tweet at me, at Evan With Sports, that is at Evan With Sports, EVANWIT Sports. Tweet at me and let me know your thoughts on Joe Mixon. If the Packers had the chance to draft him, if you were the Packers, would you give him a heartbeat in the second or third round and give him the opportunity to continue to show that he's a changed person? So that's my thought on Joe Mixon. I know I didn't have it in the description prior to the show, but I just had to vent, and maybe it's because I work with young people who have made poor decisions, and they're currently locked up, incarcerated, and I'm working with them to help them change their lives for the better. So maybe I got a soft spot in my heart for allowing others for another opportunity. And he deserves every right to make a living for himself. And his chosen profession is football. He deserves to make a living for himself and his family playing football. Now we get to see what he does with this opportunity that's being presented before him. So, moving on, time to talk March Madness. After Saturday, we find out who advances to Monday and gets the opportunity to cut down the nets as the 2016-2017 NCAA National Championship. And the Final Four is set. Carolina, a team nobody thought would have anywhere close to making it to the Final Four, is in the Final Four for the first time in school history, playing Gonzaga, who is also in the Final Four for the first time in school history. So we're going to have a team make their first trip ever to the national championship game, regardless of the outcome of Gonzaga and South Carolina. In the other Final Four matchup, we got the North Carolina Tar Heels, the number one seed, 27-7 on the year, playing against a team that most people, myself included, were giving very little opportunity to make it to the national championship game after an injury to one of their front court players. So the thought was they would have a tough time advancing due to lack of size. So South Carolina, Gonzaga, Oregon, North Carolina, to find out who plays for the national championship. And I look at South Carolina and Gonzaga. Gonzaga 31-1, South Carolina 22-10. And the one biggest advantage Gonzaga has in this game is their size. They got a legit 7-footer, should be able to control the middle, and that's what South Carolina hasn't really faced in this NCAA tournament, just the size that Gonzaga has in the middle. I think South Carolina has been on a great ride, been on a great run as of late, but I just like Gonzaga in this matchup due to their size. I think Gonzaga's size will be too much for South Carolina to handle, and I think South Carolina's Magic Carpet Ride run through the East Regional comes to an end with Gonzaga winning by, I would say, 8 to 10 points. So Gonzaga, I got moving on, and then Oregon, North Carolina, you know, the injury to their center or power forward has not affected them as of yet, but North Carolina is a different beast. North Carolina, they average about 44 rebounds per game, 18 assists from 7 steals. The Ducks average 6 steals per game, 14 assists from 39 rebounds. Oregon, very good defensive team. North Carolina, a very athletic team overall. I think I don't think Oregon's played a team as athletic as North Carolina all year, let alone in the NCAA tournament. Carolina's athleticism and size in the middle is going to be too much for Oregon to overcome. So I am seeing a Gonzaga, North Carolina national championship game for all the marbles Monday night. And when it comes to who's going to cut down the net, I got to give it to North Carolina. You know, they've been there before. They were there last year. They know what they need to do to cut down the net. They lost last year in a heartbreaker buzzer beater by Villanova. And I think this year North Carolina takes the title over Gonzaga in a pretty tight scoring game. I got North Carolina getting a 1-point victory over Gonzaga in the national championship games. And I apologize beforehand to my North Carolina and Gonzaga followers, as I'll be honest, I have not had a very good NCAA tournament yet making predictions. So I haven't had a good tournament. So, but we'll see if I'm correct this time. But I got, as I said, Gonzaga and North Carolina for the NCAA championship game, with North Carolina winning a close one. So, you know, surprisingly, that Monday is the last day of men's college basketball, and now we're going to have to wait until November, October-ish of 2017 in order to see college basketball again. However, perfectly okay for the fact that Sunday night singles the beginning of the 2017 Major League Baseball season. Spring training is finally done. The players are returning home, back to their home city. The Brewers are back in Milwaukee. The Cubs will be back in Chicago. The Yankees back to New York and so forth. And Sunday night, we get to see meaningful baseball for the first time since the Chicago Cubs ended their over 100-year drought to clinch the 2016 World Series. And I would say right now, the Chicago Cubs probably the front runners for the World Series coming out of the National League. So we will see for sure once the season starts. But the question, who has the best shot of stopping the Cubs from repeating? And I personally think it falls in the National League. I don't think there's a team in the American League, personally, that matchups against the Cubs. Maybe the Indians, but other than that, maybe the Red Sox, I guess. But I don't see any team in the National League that have a good shot at knocking off the Chicago Cubs. However, I see two teams with a very strong possibility of doing so, and they both play in the National League East. The New York Mets, the team 2 years ago that represented the National League in the World Series, and the Washington Nationals, a team that seems to struggle in the postseason, seems to struggle to get victories. And you also have the San Francisco Giants and the Los Angeles Dodgers. The reason why I picked the Mets as the Cubs is simple. They're starting rotation. They have, you know, Norris Syndergaard, Jacob DeGrom, Matt Harvey, three frontline guys that can be dominating. They're eventually going to get Zach Wheeler and Steven Matz back from the disabled list. They're going to start the year down in the on the injured list. But last year, Syndergaard 15-7, DeGrom 12-8. Harvey only pitched 140 innings, going 8-7. You know, injury last year was the biggest problem the Mets had to their starting rotation. They had a lot of injuries. To me, that's why the Mets didn't repeat as National League champions, the injuries. But I think the Mets this year, if they stay healthy, could easily knock off the Cubs. You got Jose Reyes leading the top of the order. You got Curtis Granderson, Yonis Cespedes. You got Jay Bruce. You got Neil Walker. You got Astudillo Pereira. You have Lucas Duda when he comes back from injury. And you got Travis the Arnold. You know, the bench, I guess, would be probably the question for the Mets, how their bench going to hold up in that bullpen for the Mets. You know, Addison Reed is their closing pitcher, 65 innings pitched last year, 20 saves, and Familia starting the year on this suspended, going to miss the first 15 games. Their other closer, 32 saves a year ago. So that bullpen might be a little shaky for the Mets. That's going to be their Achilles heel. But overall, I think the Mets have a great shot of knocking the Cubs out this year in the National League. And the Washington Nationals are another one. They got a very good pitching rotation topped off by Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg if they're able to get healthy. I know Scherzer is a little banged up. Strasburger doesn't really make it through the whole year before getting hurt, but I think they have a good potential to knock off the Cubs as well if people stay healthy. They're pretty good all the way around. Pretty strong offense. They got pretty good pitching staff. The bullpen and bench, I think, would be key for the Nationals. Again, the Giants, because the Giants are always seem to be a tough out, especially come postseason. And the Dodgers, you just have to think that Clayton Kershaw is going to come through at some point in the postseason. You got to think he will. Kershaw will come through at some point. You got to think he will. I don't know if this is the year, but it could be. The Red Sox and the American League are going to be very tough with Chris Sale, a member of the Red Sox. That's going to be a very tough team to beat out of the American League. You know, you obviously got Mookie Betts, who was a great player for the Red Sox last year. So the Red Sox will be a very tough opponent for anybody coming out of the American League. The Cleveland Indians look to try to get back to the World Series. The Blue Jays are a strong team. Houston could take a step forward. The Rangers can take a step forward. You got the Royals, who are looking to rebound after a rough year last year. The Cardinals are the Cardinals. They always seem to be in the thick of the postseason race all the time. So for the National League. So a lot of teams that could be dark horses, but I think the Cubs, Nationals, and Mets of the National League are probably my favorites, and then the Red Sox and Indians out of the American League. But it's going to be an exciting baseball season. I'm going to say that right now. Very exciting baseball season. And I'm excited. I can't wait until opening day. The Brewers, they have their opening day Monday night. I should say Monday against the Colorado Rockies. And I'm excited for that opening day. The Brewers 72-90 last year. I think they have the chance to get near 80 wins. Not saying they will get 80 wins, but they have a chance to chase 80 wins. And the Brewers season with the young team should be very excited. My division winners are out of the American League, the Boston Red Sox, the Cleveland Indians, and I believe the Texas Rangers win the American League West. I think the wild card would be the Houston Astros and the Toronto Blue Jays. National League, you got the Cubs, you got the Mets, and you got the Dodgers. With the Giants and the Nationals, Mets, Cubs, Dodgers, with the Giants and the Nationals getting the wild card. So that's why I think the postseason is going to shape up. But like I said, I'm excited for baseball. I'm excited for the season to start. And I want to get your thoughts on the division winner and who you think can knock off the Cubs. And if you're listening live, you can give me a call, 646-564-9948. Or you can shoot me a tweet at Evan with Sports. Who are your division winners in baseball this year? And who do you think could knock off the Cubs off their pedestal as the best team in baseball, the defending World Series champions? Going to jump ship really quickly. I know I put basketball in here, but here's what I want to discuss. And here's what we're going to discuss. WWE WrestleMania. I've been a wrestling fan for most of my life, not much of a big fan of it now as I used to be. I don't get to watch it as often as I used to. But WrestleMania coming up on Sunday, starting at 4 o'clock Central Time for their pre-show, their kickoff show, to probably about 11 o'clock, I would say. Central time, so almost midnight Eastern time. That's my guess on the running time. And you know, WrestleMania, the biggest event of the calendar year for wrestling. And you know, wrestling is not what it used to be. It's not as fun to watch as it used to be. A lot of it has to do with just the internet, Twitter and Facebook. It's very hard to surprise you with Twitter and Facebook, and everybody has opinions on it, and that makes it hard to watch too because everyone thinks they know better. But I think it'll be an exciting event. I always watch WrestleMania, regardless if I'm a wrestling fan still or not. I love watching WrestleMania. But the card you got for the WWE Championship, Bray Wyatt, who finally won a singles championship against Randy Orton. You got Goldberg defending the Universal Championship against Brock Lesnar. You got Undertaker and Roman Reigns. You got John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maurice. Seth Rollins versus Triple H in a non-sanctioned match. You know, they throw that in there because they're going to probably have some run-ins with Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens, and probably a surprise, too, coming down to probably help Triple H win. You got Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles. You got a Raw Women's Fatal 4-Way Elimination Match with Bayley, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax. You got Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin for the Intercontinental Championship. And SmackDown Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss is defending her title against all the SmackDown women. Raw Tag Team title triple threat, Luke Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo Amore and Big Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus. And you got the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal coming up too. And then you got the Cruiserweight Championship on the kickoff to go with the Andre the Giant. Neville versus Austin Aries. So here's my thoughts on how the card's going to go. The quote, ultimate thrill ride as WWE is promoting it as. I think Neville retains the championship. I think you keep the belt on him. He's hot right now, getting, you know, fans, loving the Neville character at the moment. And I think you keep the belt on him, especially if you want to keep the Cruiserweight title relevant. I think Austin Aries is a great competitor, but I think he'll be better served after this match, get more involved in probably the Intercontinental Championship and let Neville keep adding relevance to the Cruiserweights. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, probably be Braun Strowman getting the win. I expect a huge push from him post-WrestleMania. I expect McMahon to push him to the moon. Probably Strowman, Big Show are the last two in there. Take Team Championship Triple Threat. I think Amare and Big Cass get the win. However, if I had to book it, titles on Gallows and Anderson, and then I would have, and it's in a ladder match, and I would have Enzo and Cass split. I would have Cass turn on Enzo Amare after the match is over and start maybe giving Big Cass a big push as a singles competitor, as McMahon is a huge fan of him. I think Naomi gets the Women's Championship back, a belt that she had for a very short time before being hurt. I think they give the Intercontinental title to Baron Corbin. I think they're giving him a big push for the rest of the year. They're going to try to push him to the top of the card, and what a way to start by getting him the Intercontinental Championship. I think Kevin Owens leaves the United States champion over Chris Jericho, as Jericho will be taking some time off to tour with his band Fonzie. I think Bayley retains. The other possibility would be Sasha Banks winning the championship, but I think Bayley retains, and I think they turn Sasha Banks heel, who then turns on Bayley, and either the next night on Raw, and they allow Bayley to have her WrestleMania moment, or they have her turn on Bayley right after the win. I think it's going to be Bayley and Sasha Banks, the final two. I think AJ Styles gets the win, and I kind of got to vent a little bit how they're using AJ Styles at WrestleMania. Last year, they gave him a match against Chris Jericho. Match was great, but they have him get defeated by Chris Jericho clean. And now this year, he gets the former in the planet when it comes to sports entertainment or professional wrestling, whatever you want to call it. And they have him lose to Chris Jericho and then face a non-wrestler for his matchup. I think they have Triple H go over on Seth Rollins after some funny business with Samoa Joe, possibly Kevin Owens, and probably a surprise person as well to help Triple H get the win, as Triple H, I guess, is looking like he's going to debut a new stable similar to Evolution. I think Cena and Nikki Bella get the win over The Miz. I think The Miz, they should continue to push hard and get the win. But John Cena, he's big match John for a reason. I think Roman Reigns goes over on The Undertaker, as this is The Undertaker's final match of his career. And I think they're going to use it to try to push Roman Reigns back to the top of the card, this time as the heel, because then he'll be the one that, quote, ended The Undertaker. I think Brock Lesnar wins in a squash over Goldberg to win the Universal Championship match to set up possibly a Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar or a Braun Strowman Brock Lesnar championship match in the future, probably over the summer. And then Bray Wyatt hopefully retains over Randy Orton. I hope they keep the title on Bray Wyatt, but I just have a gut feeling they're going to give the belt to Randy Orton. So those are my thoughts on WrestleMania. Very long, long. Did I say long show? Starting at 5 Central Time. I'm sorry, I said 4 p.m., but it's 6 Central Time. I thought it started sooner than that, but I'm mistaken. But 6 Central Time is probably going to last till probably right around 11 o'clock. That's how long it lasted last year. So with that said, you're welcome to tweet me, follow me on Twitter, at EvanWhipSports. Give me a follow. Any thoughts you had on anything I had to talk about today, shoot me a tweet. If you agree with me, disagree with me, think I'm an idiot, I want to hear it, at EvanWhipSports. You can email Troy at TroyRoberts, 967. Tell him to get his butt feeling better and get back on doing the show. And you can also follow at Brewing Truth to help. You know, that allows us to do this show each and every night. You can find our stuff and a number of great podcasts and articles on thebrewingtruth.net. So check that out. And you can also follow at Red Light Sports as well. So I want to thank you all for listening. This is it for the rest of the week. I hope you all have a great weekend. And Troy and I, hopefully Troy and I will be regardless, but hopefully Troy's feeling better and feeling up to doing the show. Troy and I will be back Monday night as we recap the exciting things of what happened during the weekend, such as the Final Four, and talk about the national championship game, and it will be going on while we do our show. And I want to get Troy's thoughts on one of the topics I talked about. Who is a team that can knock the Cubs off their perch of trying to win a second straight World Series title? So with that said, this is Evan with Allison wishing you all a great weekend, and we'll get back at you on Monday. Good night, everybody.